There you go, ladies and gentlemen, your musical accompaniment to the Steve Young Show, curated by none other than number eight, the Hall of Famer, Steve Young. And I'm sure it's not a coincidence that Steve picked a band that has his last name incorporated into it. Steve, what's going on?
It just happens to be. That's just Young the Giant. If anyone wants to just get fired up, you can just go play them anytime.
Yeah, they're not bad.
You know, this is an honor. This is an honor to Jimmy Garoppolo 2 weeks ago after the game, you know, declaring that he was out for 2 weeks. I never.
You didn't like that, huh? Yeah, that didn't sit well with you.
I have not seen that. That was not a good feel. I didn't feel right. And so, I don't have the context. I wasn't standing there. I don't have the conversation, so it's hard to put in. But just from afar, I don't want players describing their medical analysis on how long they're going to be out. You know, so
just give everybody a heads up.
You say, hey, look, bye, buddy. I'm going to be out a few weeks. I'll see you after the bye.
Just wanted to hip you onto some information you can use.
Yeah,
Jimmy. I mean, look, it's a tough spot. It's been a tough spot since the trade, and I admire him. I admire him for the spirit that he came into camp. I admire him for how he's tried to just kind of jug through it. And that was the first, you know, the last week, and then that. I feel like there's been an emotional, little bit of a drop, and I'm hoping to see that get righted, obviously this weekend, because we don't want to slide emotionally. Everyone knows it's tough. It doesn't take a genius to figure out it's a tough spot, but let's go grind it out, and hopefully no more injuries.
We've been kicking this around for the better part of a week now. What's the identity of this offense? And we can't figure it out. We have no idea what the identity of this offense is. We know what they want it to be. We know what Kyle wants it to be. But what he wants it to be is not happening. And that's what happens when you lose Raheem Mostert. And the backs you have are also dinged up. The guys behind him.
Yeah.
And Mitchell and Sermon. What is it? Can this team be what he wants them to be? Can they still be that running team, or do they got to pivot and go, you know what? We may have to make a change here if we want to be what we want to be.
I love someone declaring this is our identity, and it's like, well, we don't have any of the personalities to make that identity true.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Like, this is our identity is theoretical, and you know, it's kind of aspirational.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, Kyle, you've seen the running game. When it's flying, and it really is, it's a flying running game, and it's gashing. I couldn't fathom how well and how effective that running game was. And then off of that, you know, play action, people are going to be wide. George is going to be wide open. Debo's going to be wide open. It's just inevitable when you're running the football like that. So, you know what? I like that identity. Who doesn't? Everybody's like, that team's going to the Super Bowl, and they did. So the identity this year, we're trying to replicate what we did in 19. We just don't have the speed, and I don't know exactly what's causing the grief, but you don't get those gash runs anymore. And then so Jimmy doesn't get the linebacker pull-ups, all the other stuff coming out of it, and that sends him into a space that's not as comfortable. And then we get third and tens, which we hate, which we never had in 19. And this just makes things everything's harder. And so we can talk. Let's talk about aspirational identities. You know what? I really want to be a better guy. I want to be somebody who can be kind of like you. I want to be more honest. I want to be more, like, we can talk about aspirational things all the time. But are you? You know, do you have the capability of it? So right now, I don't know that they have the capability to fulfill their aspirations.
And that's not a good thing. That is let me ask you about Garoppolo, because going back to his first five games here at the end of the season, I thought this guy was it. I thought he was going to be great in this system. I thought he was going to be a top 10 quarterback, if not top 5 quarterback. I just thought, and then I had to temper that with, you know what, these games aren't super meaningful to the teams that are playing the Niners, and Niners are out of it, so okay, that's fine. Then he gets hurt, and then they go to the Super Bowl, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's not quite as good as I thought he would be. I thought he would be really good, but he's still going to be really good, right? Then he gets hurt again, and now this year is the year where, and even the Super Bowl year, where they were winning, but you kind of get the feeling, I'm not sure if he's that guy. How do you look at it? Because I look at him now, and I'm like, you know what? he could start. He could start for teams in the NFL, and he could be, you know, he can help you win football games, and he could probably be with the right recipe. He could be on a championship team. He's not going to lead you there. He's not going to be that guy anymore. I don't believe. The footwork is too scattershot sometimes. The accuracy isn't quite there all the time. How do you view him? Because, I think you can win with him, but I think the margin for error isn't as big as maybe what I thought when he first got here.
Yeah, I think that there's some players dictate terms, dictate strategy, dictate, you know they're Trent Dilfer used to call them thermostat players, like you could actually turn it up, right? It's like, you know, I can make it hotter myself.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are few and far between. You know the names around the league. And it looks like Kyler Murray might be that kind of a guy, by the way.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
All of a sudden. I mean, like, look, it takes time. We've had to see Jimmy over a few years. It takes time to really decipher what somebody really is. But Jimmy obviously needs everything kind of moving in the right direction. And that's not bad. That's a fine thing. And when it is, he's not going to slow you down when it's running downhill. I mean, he's that quick release. People are open. You're running the ball football well. And so I say play action quarterbacks need that running game. It's got to be there because they need that. The Baker Mayfields, I talked about this, Kirk Cousins, the guys that need that, great players, good players, but, not necessarily can be kind of standalone players, I guess I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then again, is Jimmy capable of that? And then that goes to the trust level that we've talked about in many times in the past between Kyle and Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes my big speech I made about Lamar Jackson, is it he's not asked to be a more sophisticated passer or he is and he can't do it? I always said he's not asked to be. If he was asked to be and trained to be, and now we're starting to see that starting to inch forward. I think the last few weeks have been, wow, maybe so. So it's super exciting. But if Kyle's not going to trust Jimmy, you're not going to get that what you want out of him. Kyle's going to protect him. He's going to be careful. And then Jimmy senses that. And then Jimmy's been injured, so he can't get hurt. So I got to be extra careful. All this kind of picks away at being the full measure of who Jimmy can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, I think what you're describing is the full measure. We saw Jimmy with a great running game and everything running downhill and not getting hurt and all that kind of stuff in 19. And now all of a sudden, the injuries, the trust factor, not running the football, really, kind of makes it that much more difficult to really see who he really is. And so I think that's the problem right now. And I feel for Jimmy even more so because now the team is given 3 first-round draft choices and the future of the team to not have you. I mean, essentially, that's what they've said. So that's just it's a tough spot. So all of that, right? There's not one of it, but all of it kind of puts it in a really tough – that's why I say – I really respect Jimmy for his attitude, for how he's come at it, and has grinded it through the summer camp and started the season. I felt like it's waned a little bit and is kind of just the spirit of it. I understand why it's hurt and things aren't going really well. I get that part. But just, you know, in the NFL, it's just the relentlessness, the grit, like dig back in, give me the upbeat kind of smile. I got this figured out, even though things are tough. And I'm gonna come back at it. That's what I want to see this weekend.
Well, you're more magnanimous than I am because I have a hard time feeling bad for somebody making $25 million a year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I understand. Right, everything's coin operated. I get it. But there is
Steve, I got to ask you because you've been around Walsh, you're around Holmgren, you're around Mike Shanahan, and now you're watching the NFL very closely, and you're seeing Kyle, Mike's son, operate. I almost feel like Kyle kind of called his own bluff by drafting Trey Lance. It's like, I know Kyle Shanahan is a good offensive play caller. I know his offense produces yards and points. What I don't know is I don't know if he can bring a young quarterback along from point, you know, from being raw FCS player to a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. Is it possible that you could have a skill set, you know, that you could be a great offensive play caller and still struggle with bringing a quarterback along? I mean, how would you compare like Holmgren and Mike Shanahan? And do you think Kyle has what it takes to bring to bring Lance all the way through, not just call plays, but to actually bring him along?
I just two-sided. Make sure I cover both ends here. But you know, I think I've said this before, there's parents will come to me around town, you know, they know me and say, hey, Steve, would you mind, you know, watching my kid throw? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry if you guys heard the story. Yeah, sure, I'll come watch him. And then some kids, I'll give a few tips. And sometimes I tell the parents, I think he's a receiver. Like, you know,
right.
he's not, it's like, don't do that to him, mm-hmm. right? Don't put him in a spot where you want him to play quarterback when he can't do it. So one side of this, to your answer, Larry, is that you do need players that can, the full measure of the player, given the opportunity of being around, you know, an innovative mind and a great coach and all those kind of things, the full measure of that player is Hall of Fame or a 10-year veteran, you know, a generational player or at least a franchise player. But nobody, you're not going to drag a guy that's going to be a journeyman into a Hall of Famer. No one's going to do that. And so, and no one knows how this is going to go. Trey doesn't know how this is going to go. I didn't know how it was going to go. The rigor of the NFL has its own, you know, life cycle, and you got to live it out yourself. And so you might have an inkling for it. People let you know along the way, hey, Steve, I think you can do it. Hey, Steve, I think you got it. Or whatever they, you know, or I started to get a sense, you know what, I can do it. But it doesn't come, you know, no way Trey Lance has played a year and a half in college in North Dakota State and then shows up at the 49ers and says, I got this. I'm like, no, you don't. And I don't think he said that. But to say that Kyle can take Trey Lance, now what is that raw material? It looks awesome. I said it was awesomely raw, right? It is awesome. And he has the aptitude. It seems like he's got all the brain power and everything else that's necessary. And so all the elements seem to be in place, but the computational calculus that goes on to make things work, you just don't know until you get under the gun. And so Kyle, I think, did what Sean Payton would have done or Sean McVay would have done or Andy Reid would have done or any of the guys that are – they have some hubris, right? That's why they're good. They got that swagger. They got the ability to think, I can do this. Mm-hmm. So, yes, they get themselves in the jam. Look what Sean Payton's done this year. I got this quarterback position. I don't need to draft anybody. I got this. Maybe. Maybe not. Doesn't make him less of a coach. Just the degree of difficulty certainly went up between Taysom and Jameis, right? That's like, I can do this. I'm Sean Payton. I can handle this. It's not, you know, maybe. But it's not. But Sean Payton's no less of a coach. Like, if I go play for Sean Payton right now, sign me up. If I can play for Kyle right now, sign me up. If I can play for Sean McVay rank, sign me up. Randy Reed, sign me up. Absolutely. Any day. So that doesn't change. So nothing's changed about Kyle and his abilities. It's just that he took a real risk, bet the farm on a kid that we hope and that he can help get there. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, Kyle can't make that happen. He can get the most out of him. I really believe that. He can get the most out of Jimmy. He can get the most out of me if I was there. But we don't know what that most is the point, Larry.
Steve Young joining us for his weekly hang with us here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. I want to pick your brain about Carson Wentz. He's had a good year so far. The numbers prove it. The play just visually proves it. But I'm still skeptical. And, okay, fine, it's just me. So I'm curious, Steve, how much of it is the run game that Wentz is leaning on and that's helping him? How much is it Wentz is just better? And how much has Frank Reich had to do with Carson Wentz playing as well as he's played right now? Because clearly his time in Philadelphia in the end with Doug Peterson just was not working for him.
Yeah, I would play for Frank. So, I mean, I've known Frank forever. And he's a guy that when I saw Carson was going to go there, I'm like, whew. Because Carson had to be rebuilt in some ways. I'm overstating it, but let's just say he needed to be rebuilt because Carson became his own worst enemy. And he drove himself to injury in many ways, trying to be perfect, trying to be this, to fulfill the measure of fulfill the dreams of everyone in Philadelphia.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
He could be the next greatest thing that ever happened. And in that effort, really broke down. And you could see emotionally even broke down. And they, you know, so physically broke down, emotionally broke down, and then they basically kicked him out of town. That's mm-hmm. a tough spot for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so where does he go? because the truth is the raw material is still there. Well, the Carson Wentz as a rookie that you saw, you're like, hey, that guy can play. I 100% believe that. Now he's proving it to be true. Get him to a place where he can get healthy again. And Frank is one of those guys that I think is positioned to do that. And so you're starting to see the stabilization of Carson Wentz. I said a few weeks ago, if I could just see Carson relax completely, stop the madness, run 15 or 20 good quarterback plays, not spectacular, not twisting around behind your back, trying to come across the field, trying to do something special, you know, out of your ear, like stop. Just play some solid quarterback and put some drives together, put some games together and settle in. You're at a place where you're going to be taken care of. And it starts to feel like that's starting to happen. Even in just the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. I feel like Carson is in a much better headspace, as you just mentioned. And I think that we're going to get the most of Carson Wentz. And I think that I'm happy for him. I'm happy that it's starting to happen. But yet I still say, coming to this weekend against a tough defense, don't give me the Carson Wentz spectacular show. Give me the Carson Wentz solid show. Just play good quarterback. Be smart. Throw the ball away. Make good decisions. Don't cost your team the chance to go win the game. You know, that kind of stuff. And then we'll build from there. But build a foundation that you and your teammates especially, but everyone else around the country that watched this game so closely, know what they're going to get from Carson Wentz every week. Build that for a year or two, and then I think, you know, we can go from there.
And so if the Niners run defense this weekend, it steps up, and it renders that part of the game problematic for the Colts. Would that put pressure on Wentz, and could you see them kind of inducing the bad Wentz to show up because he feels like he has to overcompensate?
Rod, well put. Yes. I think that that's the challenge right now. He's still in this vortex, I believe, where he can be at, okay, Carson, we got to go win the game. You got to go make it happen. Oh, yeah. I can twist around three. Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you asked.
The ball's flying around. He's fumbling snaps. He's not looking when the ball gets snapped into his chest. Like, you're like, what in the world? You're better than that. He is. So, yes, that's what you want. Right now, have Carson Wentz, because he's not out of that mode yet. Mm-hmm. He's getting there. Mm-hmm. But you talk about PTSD, it'll start to show up. Like, all of a sudden, can't run the football. Oh, my gosh, we need more of you, more of you. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll respond. And then, you know, the ball starts to spit out. That's what look, every quarterback faces pressure, faces that challenge, no matter how old you've been playing, but especially Carson Wentz today.
When you were playing, did you ever tell a fan base, I effing own you?
Let me tell you right now. Remember two weeks ago, Tom Brady was quoted as saying, yes, the NFL's gotten softer. Tom Brady never says a word of any kind of conflict or controversy. He is as buttoned up as any human that's ever spoken to the media in history. And he's telling, let me just tell you, Tom, if I was a quarterback in 1995 and I would have said, yeah, I think the league's getting softer, there would have been a target on me for every game for the next 5 years. Yeah. Defensive players would be out for rage. And my offensive line would be like, why are you doing this? Why? The fact that Aaron Rodgers can yell at the Chicago Bears in Chicago, tell them, I own you, tells you that he is not under threat. There's no threat anymore from defenses in the NFL. The unfair fight that has been going on for 20 years, you guys have heard me.
Yep.
Oh, you guys have got to be sick of me talking about it. The unfair fight that has been going on and now has escalated over the last 3 or 4 years. I said recently that Peyton Manning wouldn't recognize the NFL. I know it's an overstatement. Yep. What I'm saying is it's escalating. That's how fast it's changing. And the idea of the unfair fight is now entrenched where defenses can't even, like, if it, they can't even go prove that Aaron Rodgers is wrong. They don't have a fighting chance. That's why, like you, do you feel like Aaron Rodgers and Tom and these older guys are half toying with the league?
Of course.
Like, even when they're playing, they're like, I'm just toying with you, bro. I'm just kind of raiding you along the way here.
They're trolling everybody.
Yeah. Like, I'm just raiding you for a little bit just to see what you got, and then I'm just going to smash you. And then, you know, we'll take you on. That's a dream. That is not a plan. That's a freaking dream of anyone who ever played in the history of the game is watching today's game and going, God, what a dream. What a dream. And then when he does the championship belt and yells to him, I own you, that just says that there's no threat. There is no threat in the NFL anymore from a defense. There's not. They might give you some trouble. They might come and you know, and wave their hand at you to kind of make sure that, you know, you're there. But they're no threat to you physically anymore. It's not happening. Wasn't there a roughing call this weekend where they pushed the quarterback? They pushed him.
Well, that's every week in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
No, but literally, it was like a push. It was like you didn't even fall down. Just pushed him. It wasn't late. Just pushed him. And the flag came out. I'm like, that's it. I tell you every week, I'm done. I'm done again. I'm done over and
over
again.
You're done again. Steve
quits. I'm not the old man. Get off my lawn. Like, I'm not.
There you are. But you're right. No, Steve, the old man can be right. Every time we say that, I'm tired of people saying, you know, you're the old man. It doesn't mean the old man's wrong. The old man can be right. It's just a matter of what he's yelling at, how loud he's yelling, and does he just yell at everything? Dogs, cats taking walks, cars driving by. But the old man can be right. So even if you are the old man yelling, that doesn't mean it's a bad thing all the time.
Halloween
tree. No, you're not saying get off my lawn. But the truth of the matter is that...
And sometimes kids need to be off your lawn, Steve. What the hell are they doing there anyway?
Yeah, seriously.
Right, it's done. So let's just stipulate to it. We all agree, Bay Area-wide, we've agreed that the league has changed dramatically. The thing that hasn't changed is the most incredible athletes on the planet under you know, and also how...
Play basketball.
The speed of the game. The speed, except for basketball. The speed of the game is as fast as ever. Yep. And the games are coming down. Remember, I told you, the NFL is the NBA today. The NBA is play, hang. Last 3 minutes, let's shut it down. Like the last 3 minutes, if you're LeBron or James Harden or it's like it's happening, and then they make it happen, and that's what in the NFL you could never just turn it on in the last couple of minutes. You couldn't go back and forth just up and down the field like crazy. You might be able to pull a field goal out. You might be able to kind of run down and maybe do something special every once in a while. But every week, the last 3 minutes is just like the NBA. Like, sign me up. The guys that can get it done, just go up and down the field. Like, it's crazy. So if the NBA, if the NFL is more like the NBA than ever, it's more like college than ever. I make my case every week. And there's no threat when quarterbacks are proving it by yelling at the crowd saying, I own you. It's over. There's no fight anymore. And so just enjoy the final 3 minutes of the game, because that's where all the action is. Eat your popcorn or take the breaks during the game because there's nothing really happening, and just wait for the last 3 minutes because it's the NBA.
Well, wait a minute. That seems like a little bit of a slam.
I actually
played, Steve. We actually worked the first 45 minutes of the game to get to that last three, okay?
Just take my point being that I recognize everybody plays hard. Everybody... Like, I understand, Tom. I'm not taking away from your effort. You know, you're wild. Your hands up in the air waving crazy like the YMCA games. You know, like you're... I know.
Wow. Damn.
That is awesome.
Damn. That hurts. It's wrong, and it hurts. Pretty funny, though.
I know the guy,
but I'm not that guy. But if I find it,
you're not that guy, but it's fun. But I'm not wrong.
No,
I'm not. I might be a little hyperbole, but I'm not.
No, because the NFL has turned into 7-on-7.
So that's the NBA.
Yeah. It's 7-on-7. It's summer league is basically what it is.
But it's never been more popular because people are focused on the fair fight. They're not this. And I say, Steve, you're right, but we don't care. I got to just admit it.
Yeah. Well, you know what else they love, Steve?
No one cares.
They love fantasy.
They love fantasy.
What's fantasy? Fantasy is offensive players. They love watching guys catching footballs and running footballs and throwing footballs. I mean, that's the league they want. They don't want Jack Lambert smashing someone's head into the turf. They don't want a 10-3 game. They don't want a defensive struggle. They don't want that. They want it 35-31. Everybody's scoring points. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody gets to do a dance. Everybody's shimmying and just move on with the next game.
I agree. And so the idiot savant move that the league made was in an effort to make it safer. All this stuff started to happen. And now you think about it because the game is much more quarterback friendly, by definition, you have better quarterbacks, right? You now, instead of 10 guys that can play, instead of needing 32, you got maybe 20.
Yeah, maybe.
32 that can play, you know?
Maybe you have 20. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Steve, I got to ask you, the Niners, this is a big game. I was saying to the guys, I think this is the biggest game of the year. They got to get this one. They lost three in a row going into the bye. The last game plan was putrid. Now they're going back to Garoppolo. But the Niner offense has not scored more than 7 points in the first half of a game since Detroit in week one. And if you look at their numbers, they're not making explosive plays. No explosive runs. That makes sense. No Mostert. But no explosive pass plays. And one of the numbers that jumped out to me, Steve, was that Brandon Ayuk has zero targets this year at the, you know, behind the line of scrimmage or within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. So they have zero manufactured touches for a guy who's awesome in run after the catch. And I'm just kind of wondering what, I mean, is this something that, you know, absolutely has to be answered at some point? I mean, the Niners keep kind of pushing kicking this down the road a little bit, and he needs to show more, and he needs to do this, and he needs to do that. Yeah. It's like there's a backstory here that we're not getting. And to me, when you see zero targets at or behind the line of scrimmage for a guy who's that good after the catch, that tells you that there's something going on there.
I know. I agree with you 100%. About a month ago, didn't we ask what is with Ayuk? What is going on? Well, he got on the field, but not that much has changed. So, I mean, at some point, everything rests on the quarterback and the coach, right? Kyle and Jimmy have to own all of this, right? And so, and in many ways, I think you're absolutely right, Larry. There's a lot of ways to get the ball into the hands of the players that you want it in. Especially with Kyle, he is great at doing that. You got to figure that if he wanted to, he could figure that out. And the fact that he isn't, it's, you know, obviously doesn't want to, or he'd try. And this does feel like a referendum game for Jimmy a little bit. You know, like, Kyle, come on, if we have a shot, because the Rams and the Cardinals do seem like teams that aren't going to fade. Mm-hmm. And so how do we squeeze into the playoff picture? How do we get to 9 wins, 9-8 and kind of thing? Or, you know, these are the games that you have to have. So your point, there's a referendum on everybody this week, and they had the off week to kind of get right, get healthy, do work on some stuff. And so we ought to expect that we're going to see more than 7 points in the first half. And so we see some explosion of the offense. Then we're like, hey, yeah, no, we're fine. But this is the kind of week where if it doesn't again, after a week off with everybody kind of, you know, refocusing, then you got to wonder what, and again, it goes back to the coach and
the
quarterback.
Yeah, the questions are only going to get more pointed, and they're only going to get louder. Every week, KNBR and the Forever Young Foundation, we get together to honor a Bay Area hero as the Forever Young Foundation Hero of the Week. This week, we salute the Bay Area Youth EMT Program. It was created in 2002 in Oakland, and the program was originally designed to teach the EMT curriculum to Oakland high school students. Their current recruitment efforts have expanded to include young adults from the inner cities of all of the Bay Area communities. And their mission at Bay Area Youth EMT is to increase diversity in the first responder profession by instructing inner city youth in the EMT and fire curriculum. Their goal is to create civic-minded EMTs and firefighters who will utilize their newly learned skills to work with community-based programs as well as local EMS and fire agencies. So we salute Jackson Wellington, Executive Director, and the folks at the Bay Area Youth EMT Program as they are our Forever Young Foundation.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Hero of the Week. I like that program, Steve. I like the fact that they're thinking, you know, locally and understanding that, you know, heroes can come, you know, from all backgrounds, from all socioeconomic backgrounds, and they can come in all colors because they're only trying to help all of the people in the community, in this diverse community.
I always tell my girls when they're, you know, they're playing sports, and I say, you know, how do I get really good, Dad? I go, well, you're a good athlete, but you got to get the skills.
Yep.
You don't get the skills, you know, if you don't dribble, you can't play. If you can't dribble, then you know you stand there, and the guy who dribbles, the girl who dribbles, is going to get all the, you know, get all the action. Same thing here. It's about evening the playing field and giving the skills.
Yes, sir.
Because there's great athletes everywhere. Great athletes can help the community, do great things. Look at that. It's like Girls Code, right? That's a great group that teaches girls that, like, you can code too. Like, we can get into computer science. Let's do this. And so, we say it every week, but this people are. That's why we shout them out, because they're better than me, and I think that's awesome. So shout their names, and it's great stuff.
Yes, sir.
Dang, you didn't tell your boys that? Just the girls? You giving up on them?
Well, that's what's happening right now. Damn. The boys are gone.
Oh, they can't hear me. What? I'm not going to mention them.
No, the boys, they're retired, so the lessons are real right now. I just say that just the other day she said that. You know, I was like, what? My dad, I really want to play great basketball. I went, well, you got to dribble.
You got to work at it.
You can't, because, you know, the young middle school kind of basketball, if you're not dribbling it, you ain't seeing it.
No, so, not at all.
Here's the thing, Steve, and when I coached youth basketball, I told the guys, the kids at that time, probably, 8, 9, 10, that if you want to be good, you got to put in the work, and then it'll be a lot more fun. Because they want to have fun, right? They just want to shoot and have fun. I go, guess what's more fun than that? Winning. Because when you win, you acquire all the skills, and then you want more, and then you want more, and then you build on it. But I go, if you never get to that point, and it's not easy getting to that point, because you're going to struggle because you've just started playing this sport. But it's not going to come quickly. It's going to take a little while. But if you do, once you get there, then it will be really fun, because you'll get to understand all the other stuff that comes along with the game that you don't understand now because you're still at a rudimentary level right now. But if you get past that, you work through it, then you get to explore all these other cool things where your game just kind of takes off and you get to see how good you can be. But a lot of times I just get the feeling kids want to get to step 9 without going 1 through 8 first.
Well, I'm going to give you a little parenting advice out there. I learned this the hard way. I went skills, fun. And it's no good. You got to go 5 and 6, 7, 8-year-olds, fun.
Yep.
Fun, doesn't matter. Fun. You know, popcorn, candy, whatever. Just fun. And then skills. Then skills. And then fun, right? Like you just described. I went skills early. I'm like, no, we got to get the skills. We got to go skills. And the kids are like, no, thanks, bro. I did that with golf. I did that with golf. I was like, these little clinics, and I was like, teach them all the etiquette and how to mark, how not to walk in people's line. I'm like, they were like, I hate golf. Golf's brutal. Like, well, why did I do that? Well, who cares about etiquette? Who cares about the skill? Like, just swing, baby. Just swing it. Put the ball in the lake. Hit in the lake. Drive the cart. Like, what was I thinking? Skills. Like, I did it too early, Tom.
I know. It's tough, especially for people that have played, because you think way ahead of the game, and you got to you got to backtrack. It's not easy. Before I let you go, let me read you this story. We do these crazy stories, and I wanted to read this one to you and ask you which teammate that you've played with in your career this story reminds you of.
Oh, this should be good.
If it reminds you of anybody, it might not remind you. May never mind you of anyway. No.
That's always a good default answer.
No. I'm not going to read the guy that had sex in an ambulance. Okay, we're leaving that story out. Yeah. So I don't know how you guessed something that I didn't even tell the story to. But
I just wanted to get default.
Thank
out
you. Young Dutch football fan goes viral after they were caught carrying 48 pints of beer in one go during a match in Holland. I guess he had to buy for all his buddies, and he didn't want to make a round trip 2 or 3 times. He just got it and stacked them one on top of another, brought them all back, didn't spill, and was good to go. What teammate would that be if he were carrying 48 pints of beer?
Cortez Kennedy. Let me tell you this. You know the story, right?
No.
The late Cortez.
For Seattle. Yes, a good friend
great
of mine.
Great guy.
So we're warming up for a preseason game. And he comes out, we're warming up. I'm like, hey, Cortez, how you going, man? I'm doing great. I'm starving. I'm like, well, what do you want? I mean, we take care of you. What do you got? You know, like, I don't know, just anything, you know? I said, well, look, he says, I'm only going to play like a first drive. And then I'm going to like, look, go into the locker room after, you know, when you go back to warm up, and they'll have something in your locker for you. So I got my guys to go get a bunch of hot dogs and hamburgers, a bunch of stuff, like, and just pile it in his locker room, in his locker. So what does this goofball do? He comes out after the first series, and the TV catches him eating a hamburger and a hot dog out of his helmet. So he's got like three burgers and two dogs out of his helmet over in the sideline, just gnawing on them, like just like going down. I'm like, it's the second quarter of the game. Like,
Tez.
Preseason.
Tez. Oh. The game, someone says, hey, Cortez, you were on TV eating hot dogs and hamburgers and out of your helmet. He goes, oh, Steve Young gave it to me.
Oh, Jesus.
Dropped dying.
Wow. He was a narc. That's amazing.
Did you, though? Did you give it to him?
Yes.
Yeah, he just said he did. He was supposed to keep it in the locker.
Keep it the other down low. That's like Troy Aikman at the Pro Bowl. You know, he's at the first half. I have the second half. He goes, no, he has the second half. I have the first half. He goes, do you mind if I play the first half? Because I got to catch a plane.
Yeah,
I
gotta
get back. My family.
Wow.
And so I go, yeah, no problem. Go. So he plays. He disappears. So on the second half, the panning for it, and John Madden, whoever done the game, is like, where's Troy Aikman? And it becomes a thing. So Troy, you know, he's gone. And so Troy later is like, well, yeah, Steve Young said it was okay to leave. Come on, man.
Oh, man. That is classic.
That's when Steve Young realized he cannot trust Troy Aikman for the secrets.
No, Troy, come on. We can't. We got to cover. You got caught. Like, where do you go? He's in the airport.
He's outie.
Yeah, that was rude. He was like Vince Vaughn in Dodgeball. He was like sitting there. He needed Lance Armstrong to come up to him and go, yo, man, you need to get back. That's just wrong. Anyway,
like the other day, the sideways lightning game, as we'll call it.
The sideways lightning game. It doesn't go that way, Steve. It doesn't go that way.
It does not come in your window.
Steve, as always, it's our pleasure.
Hold on. I got to tell you real quick. Tom, we're living, and the game ends, and Randy Moss is catching a plane. He's like 30 seconds later, we got to go back on because of the lightning delay, and Randy's like, he's gone. Like, where's Randy? Like, he's on the door. Like, Randy, how fast are you, man? Like, you know, we were half an hour on TV. You're out of there. That's awesome.
Still got it.
He was gone.
Still got it. I mean, the dude is fastest man alive.
Oh, that's incredible.
That's awesome.
It's our pleasure, Steve.
You're the
always
best,
a lot of fun, man. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
All right, Steve. God. Out of the helmet.
Hot dogs and hands
down.
Steve said it was okay. Damn.
I thought he wouldn't get in trouble if he just dropped Steve's name.
I'm going to use that from now on. Mrs. Brooks gets upset at me with something. Like, well, Steve Young said it was all right.
Steve was good with it.
Steve said it was cool.
Steve Young. What do you want me to do? That was your always awesome Steve Young show.